and my fellow Pennsylvanians.
This state's electoral votes are key to who wins the presidency, and both of the candidates know it.
We win Pennsylvania, we win the whole deal. You know that.
White House versus Fed wins.
Just like last time.
But states like Pennsylvania are going to be incredibly important.
The only thing left on the board is Pennsylvania. The president cannot get to the finish line without the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
One state all four candidates are visiting today is Pennsylvania. Its 20 electoral votes are highly coveted, and the Keystone State could end up being one of the determining factors in the race.
Jill's a Philly girl, but I'm a Scranton guy.
Oh, Pennsylvania, we love Pennsylvania.
Joining me today on the Kitchen Table Podcast is Maria Montero, Republican candidate for Congress from Pennsylvania's 7th District. Maria, welcome to my kitchen table.
Oh, thank you so much. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, whatever time you're listening. I am Maria Montero. So thankful for this opportunity to reach out, talk to you guys. And so you know, I also have a cup of Joe with me right now. So early morning cheers.
Cheers. So You're from the Lehigh Valley, grew up in the coal region too. So you've been in this area your whole life, and have worked in public service and in the private sector. What made you take the plunge and run for elective office? What was it that sort of motivated you in that direction?
Yeah, so you know, growing up in the 7th congressional district, which, by the way, because of our activist Supreme Court, has changed significantly in its geography. You know, when I talk to people about, oh, do you know what counties are in the 7th Congressional District? Like, most people think it's only a Lehigh Valley-based seat.
Yeah.
But the 7th Congressional District now includes Carbon County, which is coal region, but also has beautiful farmlands that are in, like, near Lehighton, Palmerton area, and the valleys. And I grew up in Summit Hill, which is a small little Carbon County coal town. And that's, like, where my Irish side comes from. And the reason why I decided to run is because there were a couple people who asked me to consider, and they said, you know, Maria, Lisa Scheller ran in 2020 and 2022, and the last cycle, Lisa only lost by a spread of 2,500 votes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they said, will you consider running? And my first response was, no. Like, I was like, do you want me to light a dumpster fire in my backyard? Like, my life's good. Like, I'm happy with my job. My family is set. Like, everything is good. And once that seed was planted, and just in talking to my family and, you know, my son, and we were just talking about, hey, what's going on? Are you looking for a home to purchase? And my son laughed. He said, Mom, there's no way, he's 28, there's no way I'm going to be able to afford to buy a home and put 20% down within the next several years. And that broke my heart. I bought my first home when I was 26. I put 20% down, and this sadness overcame me. And I just said to myself and internally, I said, what has our country came into? Like, what kind of future is here for my son and, you know, my grandchildren? Like, what legacy are we leaving? And I thought to myself, okay, I was asked to step up and be a representative for fiscal responsibility and running for Congress. I was asked to step up to be a defender of our border. I was stepped up to be a defender of our individual rights, you know, everything from our freedom of religion and our freedom of expression and our Second Amendment rights. And I just received this like overwhelming like push that I need to run for this office. And I have competition in the primary and they won't be able to win in that general. And I said, forget about it. You know, maybe I am the dark horse and I'm doing this because I want to restore the American dream. I want that for my son. And I want that for your kids and your grandkids, because I'm tired of having individuals that continue to run for office, but they're not really here reflecting our values. And also people who decide to make this their career path. Like, I've worked in private sector most of my life, like over 20 years, I've also worked in public sector, and I know that it's a sacrifice. Whenever I've left private sector to go into public sector, I've always taken a major pay cut because you're doing what is for the best of the people. And it's part of my DNA. I've always been very active as a volunteer also, like everywhere from being the chair of the president of the Pennsylvania Parks and Forest Foundation. I'm a big outdoors woman, you know, to coaching every single sport my son have played in Eucharistic minister. I'm Catholic, very involved in my church and, you know, my pro-life group also. So it's a type of service, but I'll tell you, it's like not something that we should do forever. And I believe in term limits.
Well, that you, I mean, you mentioned the way the district's constituted now. And I mean, we could probably spend the whole half hour talking about the gerrymandering that went on from the state Supreme Court. But I think the listeners probably would get tired of us pretty quick.
Let's
but,
talk about that.
I mean, it's a thing, though. And putting Carbon County in.
Especially in our state house. Like, I mean, come on. Like,
yeah, well, I mean, the Republicans won the state house vote by 300,000. Yet they're in the minority. I mean, that, you know, that was the justification that the Supreme Court used to change everything up. But now it doesn't matter. Well, don't get me started. I'm supposed to be interviewing you. But with Carbon County now being in the Lehigh Valley District, as it was, I mean, we've heard multiple occasions here that your incumbent congresswoman had some things to say about Carbon County and those voters. And I mean, do you feel like you would do a better job representing that new part of the district, not just being from there, but also just compared to an incumbent who doesn't really seem to want to engage with people up there?
Yeah, but like when you think about what type of leaders we want, we need individuals that are laser focused on defending our constitutional rights. We need individuals that are laser focused on understanding our constituencies, but also like being open-minded because, you know, once you're elected to office, and that this is something it's important for leaders, is that I learn something new every day. You know, that's part of being a growing human. And I would never say that like something is absolute in certain areas when it comes to like understanding what's best in the district. That's a part of understanding and being a leader, is that you have folks that help contribute to your complete understanding of situations. And the person in the Democratic side, her name is Susan Wild. So everybody know, like, Susan Wild votes 100% of the time with Joe Biden. She go to Washington, she votes socialist, left of center, and then she comes home and pretends that she is a moderate. Got you. No, you're not. And, you know, I can go through so many bills. Like, for example, she voted against the Deterrent Act. This is pretty basic. This is House Bill 5933. It's a bill that requires institutions of higher education to report foreign gifts of more than or equal to $50,000 with any contracts made with foreign countries. Wild voted no. She voted no against protecting taxpayers and victims of Unemployment Fraud Act. She claims that she cares about, you know, women and women's health care, but there was a bill, House Bill 6918, which is Supporting Pregnant and Parenting Women and Families Act, and also House Bill 6914, which is Pregnant Student Rights Act. And this is helping women who are pregnant, and she has voted no against these bills. So in Carbon County specifically, to give everyone a little bit of a background, Susan Wild did not know that we were listening to her while she was on this Zoom, and she chided and belittled the people, the good people of Carbon County, where I'm from, where my family lives, where my roots are from. And she did it in several ways. She just didn't attack individuals who are voting for Trump, because that's Republican, Democrats, and independents who are voting for Trump, by calling them Kool-Aid drinkers, which in and of itself is absolutely heinous, because it's referring to that mass suicide that happened. Like, when you talk about Kool-Aid drinkers, like, you're basically saying we're suicidal.
The Jonestown thing,
yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, it was very off color, but beyond that insensitivity, she also took it to the next level. I grew up in humble background, and I'm proud of it because the American dream lets us all to work hard, and with diligence, you will make it. And so my great grandfather was a coal miner. My grandfather was a 40-year member of the Carpenters Union, and my family were laborers. So what Susan said in this Zoom was not only that people who vote for Trump are Kool-Aid drinkers, but that Carbon County used to be, like past tense, blue collar. No, we still are blue collar, and that's the edge that we like. We are hard workers. Like, we put our like elbow grease on. And so that's kind of like what she doesn't understand. And it also, she doesn't understand that when she votes against securing the Border Act, that what happens is that creates and makes Lehigh County one of the high trafficked drug corridors in the country. So, when she says she cares about people or she cares about the Lehigh Valley, well, tell us why you didn't vote for House Bill 2, Secure the Border Act, because that affects everyday people right now. And it has brought so much fentanyl into Pennsylvania that the number one killer of people under 40 in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania is fentanyl overdose. We could thank Susan Wild for that.
And I mean, I think it's an issue that people don't want, well, Democrats don't want to talk about, and some Republicans aren't willing to get into it, but it's more and more a thing that's affecting everybody's lives. And everybody knows somebody, it seems, who gets caught up in that. I
So
mean, with all
sad.
that said about Susan Wild, she, like you said, she won the district by 2% against Lisa Scheller last time. What could be different this time? I mean, what has changed in those 2 years, or what do you bring to the table that could make this race, which, I mean, it's going to be a competitive race, but what could make it competitive in
Yeah.
your favor?
So what I bring to the table, and let's just say first, and let's like underscore this. I'm also going to share my website. It's www. Maria, Maria Montero, Montero.org. So MariaMontero.org is, I need to get through this primary. And I love primaries. I'm a conservative Republican. I don't like when the party says, vote this person, vote that person, because guess what? This is empowering the people. This is the most grassroots you can get. And so the challenge is also the fundraising part of it, so I can get my name out there. And if folks want to really invest in flipping more seats from blue to red, this is one of those seats that we can. Unfortunately, Montgomery County, Philadelphia County, Chester County, with Dean and our other US representatives, we're not flipping those seats. So I am imploring people in Pennsylvania and whomever's listening across the country is if you want to invest in a race that we could win, it's 7th congressional district in Pennsylvania. And so getting through the primary is the first focus. And God willing, if I get through that primary, Susan Wild's favorables are low. She constituent services are horrific. She is not present here. She sends liaisons for most events. And I will also say, because I am truly an American, I am a mix. My dad's from Peru, but my mom is Italian and Irish. And so while I was marching in the St. Paddy's Day parade in Allentown, I'm a member of the Ladies Ancient Order of Hibernians. I kid you not. The elected officials were behind us, and Kyle, Susan was shouting, vote Democrat. And the crowd's like, boo, no, we're not. And I was like, yeah, this is great. Let's get me through, folks, so I could go toe to toe with her. So, what I bring is not only the private sector experience, but I'm really concerned about our individual liberties. One thing I was asked the other day is like, what would you do if you were elected to Congress? Our $34 trillion deficit is the biggest and most important issue that we need to tackle. And a balanced budget amendment is critical. So, Kyle, do you run your house on a budget?
Sure.
Yeah. So you just don't swipe plastic?
No, I mean, I don't think anyone can live that way for long, right?
Right. So I also have a budget. And, in fact, I'm working still. Like I work at a law firm and I am running for Congress because I'm just like every other person out there. Like we have one, two, three jobs to make sure that we could support our families. And the government is using our tax money like it is just credit card debt that does not need to be paid back. And that weakens us. It weakens our security. It weakens our investment opportunities. It increases the amount of interest that we're paying. And so for me, having someone who understands what the critical emergencies are is important because Susan Wild does not. And something else, when we're talking about individual liberties, I take major issue to the fact that if I have my Second Amendment right of bearing arms and I have my firearm with me on my person in Pennsylvania, and once I drive over the border of New Jersey, I live in Easton, like
Right
literally,
there, yeah.
I walk across the bridge, all of a sudden, I could be arrested. I think that it's really important that we have individuals that who will advocate for national reciprocity for our Second Amendment rights. So, these are like some of the basics that people need to understand that we don't have that kind of representation. Susan also has never voted to secure the border. I understand how important it is in going doors. Like the economy is number one. Like those are like we're talking about like our kitchen table conversation. The cost of gas and the cost of groceries and the cost of rent and living. But part of that too is if you don't feel safe where you live, everything else is secondary. And because of not securing our border, the amount of drug trafficking that has affected the 7th Congressional District is overwhelming for our local law enforcement. I'm very thankful that the Easton Fraternal Order of Police has endorsed me. I grew up, my stepdad is in law enforcement, and he's also a firearm specialist. So I grew up with having great reverence, respect for our blue and our first responders, but also the great responsibility we have in making sure that we responsibly use our right to bear arms. And so, those are some of the things that differentiate me. Like, you couldn't have two women who are more different. Born and raised here in this district, Susan is re really never had a roots or a home. She grew up in a military family. You have someone whose family came from nothing, and our family scrapped our way up to, securing that American dream. And you also have myself, who I had my son when I was 18. I care so much about giving women real options if they're pregnant, just like I had. My mom and dad helped support me when I was 18 years old, but there are so many women that don't have that option. And you have Democrats saying that they're pro-choice and they care so much about like supporting women, but what they really are is they're pro-abortion. Because if you really cared about supporting women, then Democrats wouldn't have defunded Real Alternatives, which is a program which helps women who are pregnant and they have their children. And it's a program which helps real programs like the K. Galgan Lifehouse, which is in Bethlehem, that lost $250,000 because of the Real Alternatives cut. And so if Susan is saying she really cares about giving women options, if she really cares about protecting women, if she really cares about our families, well, then she'd vote to secure our border. She would vote so that women have real options, like voting for the Pregnant Student Rights Act or supporting pregnant and parenting women. But she doesn't. And so we need someone who has that legal understanding that can take her to task for her votes, explain it in a way that is in like just everyday language you and I speak, not legalese. And someone who can also grow our party. There's 55,000 registered Spanish speakers here in this district, and a majority of them are now leaning Republican because they're very sad and stressed and concerned about the future of the American dream, just like I am.
Well, first, let me say I'm also Irish Italian, so happy belated St. Patrick's Day to you.
Happy
And
St.
from
Patrick's Day.
what you, I mean, from what you said about AOH members, what you're saying matches the ones I know too. I mean, I think that's a constituency that is speaking the same language you are, and they're really picking up those same themes. But with
Are
it, I
you
mean,
AOH?
I am not. My dad was, my uncle still is.
Oh,
But
cool.
yeah.
We'd like to have you.
Maybe I should. I don't know.
We
It's good to get out of the house for sure. So along those lines, you've mentioned a lot of themes that appeal to Republicans, to independents, and even to some Democrats. How, if you win the primary, how can you bring the Republican Party and Republican-leaning independents together? You know, and because it seems like we have a lot of really bruising primaries these days. And primaries, like you said, are, it's great that the people get to choose, that the it's not just handed down from the establishment. But after it's over a month from now, how can you pick up all the pieces and say, all right, now we need to go to November and we need to all be marching the same direction?
Well, there's several reasons. So, since I've been 18 years old, I have volunteered. And mind you, I've never been paid to work on any political campaigns because I do it because I love our country and I want the best people to get elected. And so, being a volunteer and being highly engaged in over 100 campaigns, one thing I learned is that it's a blood sport. And that it's also like doesn't have to be personal. And I'm also a Christian. And so, as a Catholic Christian, I am not going to personally attack, my fellow running mates. And it's also because of someone who I regard as one of my role models, and that is Ronald Reagan. I will repeat this every time, and you probably know what I'm going to talk about. We have our Ten Commandments and our Judeo-Christian sense, but Ronald Reagan has also added an 11th commandment. And so, with our 11th commandment, they shall not speak ill like of another Republican. It's one thing to talk about your policy stances or direct actions, but like we don't have to like punch down on each other, and it does not behoove us because it creates so much hostility and negativeness. It happened the last cycle in 2022. And in fact, one of the people that I'm running against didn't come out and publicly endorse nor did not donate to Lisa Scheller. And I think that it would have made a big difference in this election if that person did. I really do. In this cycle, the two gentlemen I'm running against, they are like literally kicking the crap out of each other. And I've decided to talk about the issues. In fact, if you look at the Business Matters debate that it was hosted by the Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce, you could see the two people fighting, and you could see me go over and decide to kind of do a popcorn moment and just get a drink. And then once they were done, I said, we are not focusing on the issue. And in fact, at that point, we were talking about communism. And I share and am boldly proud to say that my feelings about communism is that it's evil and it must be destroyed, and that China is the biggest threat to American freedom. And so we need to stay laser focused on the issues. When we talk about what differentiates us from other candidates, it does not have to be personal. It could be your positive. How about this, everybody? How about voting for somebody not because of a negative, but because of their positives? Like that's how we grow our party. In fact, there have been three debates. I would love for everybody here to watch them. One was hosted by Channel 13 in Carbon County. You could Google that debate. There's also a debate with the chamber. There was parts one and two, that's under Business Matters. And then a third debate that, crazy enough, one of the candidates decided not to attend. And so, with their absence, it was a very lovely discussion on foreign policy and individual rights and, what we do as a member of Congress. And so maybe we need more folks who have humility running for office. How about that one?
Makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's about all the time we have today. Maria, thanks for sharing your time with us and joining us on the podcast.
Thanks. And then one more last pitch. I really need the conservatives. If you care about winning this 7th congressional district, if you could support me financially, my website's mariamontero.org. But, for me, whether it's time, talent, or treasure, it is equal. If you'd like to volunteer on my campaign, if you would like to, help on at the polls or do doors, you can sign up also on my website to be a volunteer. I thank you so much for your time and God bless.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Pennsylvania Kitchen Table Politics. Take a minute and leave us a rating and review on your podcast platform. Please also consider following us on social media for updates and announcements regarding future episodes and new guests. You're political, so I am sure that you're on Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram. We are too, at PA Political Podcast. Visit our website, papoliticalpodcast.org, and send us your feedback about this episode and suggestions on future guests. Until next week.